This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 31st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Illinois lawmakers are back in session and still waiting for word on progress toward a new state budget. The current temporary budget extension runs out at midnight tonight. Not enough lawmakers showed up Saturday for a special session called by Governor Blagojevich to pass a new one-month extension, and they ignored the request Monday. But legislative leaders meeting behind closed doors without the governor this past weekend said they made headway on a compromise among themselves. Democratic State Senator Mike Frericks of Gifford hopes a budget can pass out of the General Assembly by the end of this week if the word of the progress is accurate.
Now, I'm skeptical because all along the process, all summer long, people have told me we're close to a deal on this, we're close to a deal on that. So my job is to go off and push them and to make sure that our priorities, things like education funding, a capital plan, proper funding or pensions, are included in whatever budget is put forward.
Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana says she just wants to make sure that any budget includes adequate funding for the University of Illinois and education in general. Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines is urging state leaders to avoid a government shutdown by passing a new budget by August 8th. That's a week after the current spending plan ends. Legislative leaders say they're making progress but didn't commit to completing a new budget by any particular date. Yesterday, Governor Blagojevich proposed a one-month budget extension. The House and Senate ignored the governor, preferring instead to focus on getting an agreement for the full year. Lawmakers have been deadlocked for months on a budget for the fiscal year that began July 1st. They kept state government going with a one-month budget for July, but that expires today. Without a new budget in place, Hines says the state would begin facing severe money problems when 4,900 state employees are scheduled to be paid in a week. The head of the Illinois Republican Party is trying to build up party unity before next year's elections, and he believes the current budget squabbles pose an opportunity. A series of Reform Illinois forums across the state included one session in Champaign last night. It was a combination rally and input session for local party faithful and lawmakers. State GOP Chairman Andy McKenna fielded a concern from one participant that voters no longer trust politicians from any party. McKenna believes an eventual vote on a state budget after months of stalemate among Democratic leaders will be a turning point.
Are we true to our words? Votes will make a clear difference on that. And I think it then is incumbent upon us, if our legislators vote the right way and show that we stand up for something, that then we need to support them and go into our local communities and say, see, we did it. You know, even if they pass a tax increase, it wasn't with us.
The forum did include some disagreement among Republicans over the need for a new constitutional convention for the state. Some, including Senator Dale Ryder of Mattoon, say several legislative rules need to be changed, but others worry the Democrats would hold the balance of power in such a convention. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels is pushing a plan that would distribute $300 million in property tax relief to about half the people entitled to it under current law. Ryan Kitchell, director of the Office of Management and Budget, says the new plan is designed to provide tax breaks to homeowners hit hardest by tax increases this year. It would cap increases at a certain percentage of a home's assessed value, with the limits varying by county. Under the law enacted this past session, the $300 million in projected slot machine licensing revenue is to be allocated to all homeowners eligible for the state homestead credit for taxes payable this year. It was to come in the form of rebate checks sometime after fall tax bills would be sent out. For the third time, a new judge has been named to hear the case of two Chicago men charged with murdering a Douglas County sheriff's deputy in the course of a day-long crime spree. Sixth Circuit Presiding Judge Robert Schunkweiler has named Macon County Judge Tim Stedman to preside over the case of Yusef Kareem Brown and William Thompson. They're charged in a long list of counts from the June 21st chain of events, including the shooting death of Chief Deputy Tommy Martin. The Douglas County State's Attorney says he'll seek the death penalty. The original judge stepped down from the case, saying he and Martin were close friends. State's Attorney Kevin Nolan objected to the second judge named. Tuition rates have been set for the first two degrees offered by the new global campus of the University of Illinois. U of I trustees approved over $6 million to fully fund the program yesterday. It will include over 15 undergraduate and graduate programs. A nursing degree will cost 50% more than a traditional equivalent, while a master's of education will cost much less. Trustees set in-state tuition for the nursing program at more than $18,000. In-state tuition for the master's degree will be almost $14,000. University President Joseph White says the two programs are just the beginning of an effort to make Illinois courses and degrees available to non-traditional students.
It means that we're no longer just on the runway taxiing. It means we are now going down the runway and lifting off.
Classes which begin in January will be taught by university faculty and other instructors supervised by faculty. The trustees also loaned the online university more than $6 million. The global campus must pay back the loan starting in 2011. A World War II ship that serves as a military museum will embark next month on a trip to river towns in Illinois. Plans call for the LST 325 to dock in Peoria and Henry as it travels along the Mississippi and Illinois rivers. The ship is scheduled to depart from Evansville, Indiana on August 17th and return about 30 days later. Museum Director Mike Wicker says the crew also hopes to stop in Seneca, home of a shipyard where LSTs were constructed during the war. The LST 325 was launched October 27, 1942, and commissioned 4 months later. It landed on the beaches of Normandy during the D-Day invasion of Europe and made 43 more trips along the English Channel, ferrying troops and equipment to soldiers. It also helped British and American combat units launch an invasion on Sicily. For the latest newscast online, go to wil.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Summer brings with it dog shows across the nation. Commentator Amy Guida found that standards for certain breeds can be the subject of intense debate and at least one lawsuit. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I say common door and you think of one of two things. Your apartment house's entry point, the common door, or that curious dog with hair that looks like a mop named the common door. This summer and fall, you'll be able to see the latter at dog shows across the country. A dog show, if you've never been, is pretty much what you'd imagine. Canines in cages, pampered, then paraded around by people wearing somewhat odd clothing. They'll be wearing sequined, somewhat odd clothing if it's the final round at the Westminster show. The good news for all with canine companions is that after a dogged search of the law books for any dirt on dog shows, it's clear that the people involved are a rather non-litigious lot. There really aren't many cases on the books regarding professional dog people, including breeders and handlers, except in the tax area, where some of them have gotten into trouble with the IRS over just what dog-related items are deductible. So dog show types are non-litigious, to a point. But don't you try to change the standards for a breed. That's when a court must step in to smooth the ruffled fur. For example, a few years ago, someone suggested that certain Labrador retrievers weren't measuring up to the breed's potential. Literally, some labs just weren't as tall as others. So someone else changed the standard, the measure used by judges when they decide which Labrador retrieves the trophy. The old standard used to suggest a height for the breed. The new standard made the height a requirement. The plaintiffs, breeders of shorter labs, alleged a conspiracy, one in violation of our nation's antitrust laws. This newfangled height requirement, they argued, among other things, would effectively exclude the plaintiffs from winning any ribbons. It would unreasonably restrain trade. But the court refused to bite. It found no conspiracy, no evidence that the people who pushed for the new regulation wished to create a monopoly, and no antitrust violation. And sure enough, on the American Kennel Club's dog description website, the height language is still there, the litigated line that any variance greater than 1/2 inch above or below these heights is a disqualification. Which brings us back to the common door. It's got a breed standard, too. Its color is white. Its gait is leisurely and balanced. A dark gray nose is not desirable. 3 or more missing teeth is a fault. Its coat is corded and feels like felt. It is not silky. While there's been no litigation on those standards, the Commodore would be a formidable opponent in court. The standards require imposing strength, dignity, and a courageous demeanor. But any potential defendant can be nearly certain that no litigation would ever ensue over standards. A Commodore would never want its fur flying. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, today sunny skies, the high around 88 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the low 65. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 92. Mostly clear tomorrow evening, the low around 68. For Thursday, sunny skies, the high around 92 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.